place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening and welcome. This is the best in paranormal talk radio. Darkness Radio is on the air. I'm your host, Dave Schrader, along with me, Tim Dennis, sitting in, taking your calls later in the show. The Rookie, good evening, boys.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. Glad to have you both here with us again tonight.
Why, thank you.
Tomorrow night, aliens in our backyard with Rob and Trish. They're going to be joining us tomorrow night and talking to us about their new book, Aliens in the Backyard. We're going to find out all kinds of interesting stories about them, about their work in UFOs. First book, this guy's actually written 7 of the Indiana Jones novels.
Really?
Yeah, McGregor and his wife Trish, and they've won Edgar Allan Poe Awards, everything. This is their first foray into examining UFO phenomena. And we're going to talk to them about that. We're going to also talk to them about synchronicity. Yeah, no, not the Police album, too.
No?
No. But we should, of course, we should play Synchronicity 1 and 2 tomorrow, since it does seem synchronistic that we do that.
It's their best work, really.
Yeah. I'll give you that for sure.
Yeah,
definitely. So we've got a great lineup for us this week. I've enjoyed the show so far this week. And tomorrow or Friday night, we have Supernatural News of the Strange and Bizarre. From all the strange news stories that have been cropping up for this past week, we'll be delivering them to you. Plus, we have a special guest, Rookie. You are in for a treat.
Okay, I'm listening.
I'm not going to tell you who it is.
Yeah, no, it's a treat.
It's a treat. But he's pretty big time. His name is associated with some of the biggest horror movie franchises in history.
Really?
Yes. And he's going to spend about 10 minutes with us talking about 2 of his new projects that are coming up very quick. So we're going to talk to him on Friday night. We've got a lot of cool stuff going on. And I think Friday night we're going to have an un-Valentine's Day party. Right?
Yes, an un-Valentine's Day
party. The after party.
Yeah, we're going to head over to Cooper's over here at West End in St. Louis Park and have a few drinks. And we invite you, our listeners, to join us. If you'd like to come on in, have a couple of drinks, and have an un-Valentine's Day with us. It's the only the lonely un-Valentine's Day party, Darkness Radio Edition, Volume 1.
Aw.
You like that?
I do like it.
Maybe you can make a nice album cover for us for it. Yeah.
I'm not that artistic.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah. I can do it in crayon.
Okay, but that won't help us at all.
No.
It's great with stick figures, mostly.
Excellent. Good. So that's going to go on. So Friday night, join us over here at Cooper's. And we're not going to be there for more than maybe an hour, hour and a half, 2, 3, 4 hours tops, you know, stumbling home drunk probably.
We'll close the place down.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
I think that'll be fun.
I'm getting a room at the Doubletree just in case.
Is that an invitation to us? I think this is a little soon for you, Rookie, to be inviting Tim and I back to your room.
He's so forward.
We'll talk during the break.
Sorry. All right, guys, let's get serious. All right, good. You're there.
All right.
Ouija boards. Now, this is a topic that has been a hot button controversy for quite a while. People either love them, hate them. There's really not many people that just don't care either way. You know, they come down pretty black or white on the subject. And it is strange because when you think about it, I mean, it's a spiritual communication tool, possibly, right? I mean, we have no way of validating if there's something there helping us or moving the planchette. So we don't really know what we're engaging with. With that said, there are many other tools in the paranormal investigative field, like dowsing rods, pendulums, EVP recorders, EMF detectors, K2 meters, the shack hacks, the spirit boxes, the ovilus. These are all tools that do essentially the same exact thing. But why do you think the Ouija board gets such a bum rap? Now, we've talked to some experts in the field, you know, our good friend Bob Murch, who's the Ouija board historian. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, if you look up Ouija board, probably most of the big major websites are going to pop up, deal with Bob Murch. And he is so ingrained in this, he's actually the consultant for Parker Brothers. And when they need history and to find out part of the topic or history of this famous talking board, Bob Murch is the guy they go to. And Bob points to the fact. He said, I can show you where this thing jumped track. And he said it was in the 1970s with a little movie called The Exorcist. And there's one scene where the Ouija board is barely part of it. You know, she just refers to it and talks about the fact that Captain Howdy, you know, came through and suddenly now she's possessed and all this is going on. And the, you know, automatic leap is playing with the Ouija board gets you possessed.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, everything kind of derailed. Then the track went off. And, you know, think about it. There's popular music written during the very early part of our lives in the 20s and 30s, all the way up to now, written about the Ouija board. But mm-hmm. the original songs were all very upbeat, happy, kind of, you know, fun 20s and 30s songs mm-hmm. about this kind of fun game. As a matter of fact, one of the most beloved American artists on the planet, Norman Rockwell, did a very famous Saturday Evening Post where a guy and woman are playing the Ouija board and he looks like he's looking down her shirt while she's looking up to the spirits, right? Interesting picture. But here you've got this iconic artist. If this was such an evil deal, you know, it's not like it appeared on the cover of Cracked magazine or Mad magazine. This was on the Saturday Evening Post. And there's all of this storylines that have been used for you know, 200 years with different kinds of spirits boards. And they even predate that. But people have really jumped on the fact that this thing is evil. And they're terrified of it. Some people, you just even mention Ouija board, and they're like, oh, I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear about it. And they pull out and want to walk away. Now, I'll tell you, when we started doing the show, Tim,
mm-hmm.
right, we were kind of in that same vein because we were drinking the same Kool-Aid, right, that people were so fearful of it. And what we were finding is a lot of the darker paranormal encounters that were being reported to us always seemed to have a common thread. And that common thread that it came down to was, we started playing with the Ouija board.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what was our advice? Well, then don't play with the Ouija board.
Right. Right. If it itches, don't scratch.
Right. And here's the deal. If you've got something, don't, you know, if you don't know what you're doing with it and you don't know what you're communicating with, then maybe it's not the best tool for you. It doesn't necessarily mean we think it's evil, but if you've got that predilection, you believe in that part so deeply that it's evil and dark and opens up portals to the other side or to Satan or whatever. You know, to me, it just seems silly that a Parker Brothers game is the opening to hell. You know, truthfully, I have seven kids.
Things, yeah.
I have seven kids. If any game did that, it was Candyland or Operation, right? Teaching our kids how to do sacrifices and cut bones and hearts out of people. That might've been a little bit more demonic to me. Than the Ouija board. And I, you know, I had experiences with Ouija board when I was a kid and played, and, you know, I used to get spooked out by it and had some good times. We were actually at a party once, in high school and, you know, as teenagers will do, we might've had a few drinks at this party and.
You didn't play spin the bottle?
No. We played stiff as a board, light as a feather.
Oh, sure.
Have you ever played that?
Mm-hmm.
Have you?
Yes.
Have you?
With the looks. Come on.
Yeah. I don't believe this kid even knows what stiff as a board, light as a feather is.
I think he thinks he knows what it
is.
Yeah,
I do too. Yeah. And it's not the dirty thing he's thinking.
No.
But we played that and then somebody broke out the Ouija board. And we played it and everybody's focused. I mean, there's like 20 people surrounding the table watching as this communication's going on. And they get done. And I remember this distinctly. Everybody stands up and we're all kind of freaked out by the weird messages that are coming through on this, right? And they're, you know, messages of death and all of this. And as we're standing there talking about it, and the board is on a perfectly flat table with the planchette, which is the little directional pointer, sitting on top of the Ouija board, it just shakes like, and then right off the board.
What?
That was the only time that I played with Ouija board again for another, I don't know, 20 years. I just, you know, I, again, didn't know what I was getting into.
Mm-hmm.
But there are people out there that believe that the Ouija board is a tool that can be used for good and bring about great information, bring about very interesting communication and dialogue. And we had the sisters, Tina and Tilda, that were on our show, I think 2 years ago, that wrote an entire book based on the information that they got from mm-hmm. the Ouija board. So I was lucky enough to be a guest a few weeks ago on Coast to Coast. And in the last hour of the show, they brought on another guest to talk with me about Ouija boards. I kind of get the feeling George was hoping I was, you know, the con side of Ouija mm-hmm. boards and they're
sure.
bringing on somebody on the pro side, but we both agreed on most every point. So it was a quick little interview, but I was interested in having her on our show to talk and share because she has some great information and has been working with the Ouija board for over 30 years. So ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to our show, Karen Dahlman. Good evening, Karen.
Good Good evening, Dave. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you for coming and joining us on our show for the next couple hours. I appreciate you being a part of this with us.
Well, I'm delighted to be here.
Now, you know, maybe you can give me a little insight. When I did Coast to Coast, did they bring you on and let you know that we were going to be speaking to each other prior to that?
Well, no. I didn't know I was actually going to be speaking with you, too. It was a last-minute thing. George has been reading my book, and then they brought me on, I think because of you were doing the topic of Ouija boards. And George and I, he knows that that's an interest of mine and something I've been doing for many years. So, no, I did not know I was going to communicate with you. And I do think you're right. They thought they're going to have a pro and con side. So it kind of went down a little differently that night.
I've changed my stance, and it helps certainly talking to different people. Now we're still friends with John Zaffis and Lorraine Warren and quite a few other people who will warn against it. And we've done shows on the Zozo effect, which is a strange character that seems to pop up all around the world that is involved around the Ouija board. Now you said you've been playing with this. Well, I shouldn't say playing with this, but you've been using the Ouija
right,
board.
Actually, I'm shy of 40 years. I've been doing it since let's just say I've been doing it just shy of 40 years, and I have also spoken to Mr. Zozo, by the way.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about that. Now, let's start off, though. I want to know, what got you involved in playing with the Ouija board? Was it like so many others at a party and this came out and, you know, let's have some fun and try to communicate with Captain Howdy, or how did you get that thing coming out?
Kind of. I mean, I've always had an experience since at a young age of two or three of seeing things, spirits, entities, really not knowing what it was that I was seeing when I was younger. I would attribute it to Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny or the Tooth Fairy. I mean, I didn't know. I had a little friend who would come play with me, and it was, I guess, an imaginary playmate, but to me it wasn't imaginary. So I've always had a curiosity of what else is out there beyond our physical world. So metaphysically, what's out there? So I remember when I was about 8 years old, I had some gal friends down the street. This gal and her sisters had a Ouija board, and I thought, this is the coolest thing. Let's try it. And yes, we were playing with it then. I think sometimes people pushed it, but I was so serious about, I'm not going to push this. And we started with little novel games like, you'll remember this one, Dave. How do you spell relief, R-O-L-A-I-D-S?
Right.
This board would spell Rolaids. So it was a game for us. But I started realizing we asked other questions, and then they had a sister who had died, and that sister came through, and I did not know they had a sister that died. And this became a theme throughout my life that I started talking to people that were dead on the Ouija board, that I never knew somebody that I knew had this dead relative or this dead sister or brother that was in the room. So that kind of became a theme. But that same year when I started using the Ouija board, my parents gave me one for Christmas. So that started me out, and I've been doing it pretty much ever since.
When you started with this, I mean, you'd have those experiences where it would talk to you and you didn't know things and it was giving you information that you didn't know. Were there times that you felt frightened or unnerved by the connection and who or what claimed to be coming through?
Absolutely. When I first started, I did not understand, especially at a young age, you know, that I guess I kind of thought it was half game and half real. So I was always real careful who I did it with, but yet I didn't know if I could trust people that are pushing it. But there were experiences that I had, and we'll get into more of those, that happened probably when I was a little bit older, where I was unnerved and scared. And that's about the time I learned this is a serious tool. It's not a game. It's a tool. And it's a tool to the other side. And it's a tool to alternative consciousness and entities that aren't necessarily just on the other side. And we can get into that as well. But when I realized it was a tool, then the games quit, and I quickly developed, after I had some fearful experiences, developed a process of using a protective device, protection around myself and the people who used my board with me, so that we always had clear, positive intentions, so whatever came through had to match that same vibration. And that is what is key here. You've got to have the intentions and vibration that's clear and good and positive. If not, whatever vibration you have, for example, you were drinking at a party, as you said, in high school and doing the Ouija, you're going to get that same level of energy come through. And that's when havoc and mayhem happens.
Karen Dahlman is our guest. Her book is called The Spirit of Creativity, Embodying Your Soul's Passion. It's out and available through Amazon.com. Do you have a website as well, Karen?
No, they can go to Amazon.com and purchase the book there.
All right, check it out. Again, the spirit of creativity, embodying your soul's passion. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with our guest, Karen Dahlman. Later on in the show, we'll open up phone calls. We want to hear your real experiences with the Ouija board, good, bad, or indifferent, and what your thoughts are on this tool. Why is this so demonized? Why do people fear the Ouija board yet use all these other tools? You can give us a call at 651-989-5855, 651-989-5855. That'll be after the top of the hour. Stay tuned. More of the best in Paranormal Talk Radio. When we return, this is Darkness Radio.
Wilson Conversation is back
with Davis and Emmer.
Monday, February 18th at 6 p.m.
at the Park Tavern in St. Louis Park.
Check out the details at TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com.
That's Davis and Emmer, Cocktails and Conversation.
Next Monday, February 18th, 6 p.m. at the Park Tavern in St. Louis Park.
We'd like you to like us. Go to TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com and click on like in our Facebook box.
Ouija boards, would you work for me? I have got to say hello to an old friend. Ouija board, Ouija board, Ouija board, would you work for me? I have got to get through.
Good evening and welcome back to the show. That's a little Morrissey with the Ouija board song. Our topic tonight is Ouija board. We're talking about this mysterious and miraculous oracle, Tim. Trying to communicate with the other side. Talking about the messages that come through the Ouija board. And our guest this evening, Karen Dahlman. She's written a book called The Spirit of Creativity, Embodying Your Soul's Passion. Now, is this the book that you wrote with information that you gleaned from your work from the Ouija board, Karen?
That's correct, Dave. The Ouija board worked with me on this book. This book is based upon my work as a therapist when I work with clients. However, to format the book and to get the chapters together and some of the topics I wanted to go into, which were deeper and more spiritual and really pushed people into thinking about themselves and a whole other level of thinking, the Ouija helped me form it. So I would have sessions with the Ouija about once every 2 weeks, and they would give me some topics to think about, and that would provoke me or encourage me as kind of like a springboard to go deeper into my thoughts and works about it. And then I'd come back, and they'd say, can you go deeper? Can you give personal experiences and put that in your book? And I didn't have to go say, this is what I wrote. They're with me, and they knew what I wrote. I opened up to them. And what I mean by that is through the Ouija, when it's used correctly, and I say correctly, you match your vibration and you bring that same vibration to you, you actually can, they become friends. They actually become communicators that will work with you in many other ways, not just through the Ouija board.
Are you using the Ouija board by yourself, though, Karen?
No. I won't do that. I do not recommend that. I've seen people become obsessed with Ouija boards doing that. I have to chuckle a little bit. I've seen some really strange things, but I do not recommend that. It's better to be with somebody else. It's better to have the dual energy so you know that when you can't be pushing it, it's not based on your your mind, subconscious mind making it happen. So, no, I recommend always two people.
When you do get the information coming through here, do you have to be selective in who your partner is that you're using to make these kind of connections, Karen, or can I just sit down with you and go through it?
Well, that's a really good question. There were times when I was not selective, and I realized I have to be now. And the reason why I say that is if somebody's under the influence of anything, such as drugs I'm not aware of or drinking, that's going to take down the energy. Or if somebody has a hidden agenda, and they had something happen that day that wasn't good for them. It's like I really have to look at all that. Is this person really able mentally and emotionally to do the Ouija board? It's not for the weak, but it can be used, again, as a tool. But I'm very careful and selective who I do it with. And there's only a few people that I am doing the Ouija board with currently, and there's only been a few that have really worked well with me over the years doing the Ouija board. When I say well, we have got a full-on paragraph. And he could even be blindfolded and still get words that spell and have meaning without us even seeing the board. So I've done a lot of Ouija experiments, if you would, on how it works and why it might work.
What do you believe is really going on? Do you think that you, Karen Dahlman, are connecting with a ghost, a dead person? Are you connecting with an angel? Are you connecting with the universe, the Akashic records, or are you just maybe pulling it out of your own id and knowledge of things?
I'm going to say D, all the above. It's a little bit of everything, Dave, and I said because it's your mental prepperness. It's who you are emotionally, physically, spiritually. As I've seen myself grow more spiritually, I've seen my contact with Ouija grow. And what I mean is I started talking to ghosts. I started talking to, for example, one of my first ghosts I spoke to, probably in high school, that I felt like it became somebody I could talk to a lot. Her name was Wilma Jean. And Wilma Jean was a slave. And she just was an incredible woman who had a vibrant spirit. And we're talking more about her past, some things that had happened, just things that are going on. And it was all entertaining, yet I still, was careful how I used it. Yet going forward, a lot of other kind of characters have come through. And I don't just mean dead people. Now, this is where it gets very interesting. And this is what I want to share with your audience. The Ouija board is not just to talk to dead people. You can speak to angels in the angelic realm. You can speak to entities that are out there in other universes, galaxies. You can speak to energies that have never been born or incarnated in this existence. You can speak to your animals that are alive. You can speak to your animals that are dead. You can speak to people's higher selves that are alive if they allow you to have that communication. I have even spoken to a fetus in the womb.
That's what I was going to talk to you about. Now, see, that's something that intrigues me. And when I was expecting my last child he was in the womb, there were many times that I brought out my recorder and I contemplated trying to do an EVP session with the belly and see if I could get any kind of response. But truthfully, I was afraid because again, not knowing or understanding spirituality, not understanding, when does the soul enter the form? I didn't want to, maybe shine a light on this empty vessel and get the wrong person in there, especially because we planned on naming him Damien. And I thought that was just, asking and begging for trouble. But, I thought about that seriously, but it was a concern for me not knowing when a soul is in it. I know there's many religions and belief that it's the moment they take their first breath and that is when the soul enters the body and that's when they become them. There's other thoughts that the moment of conception is when the soul begins. So, it was unnerving to me. Plus, I just, like I said, didn't want to draw the attention to my child for potential bad, mojo on that. But when you communicated with the Ouija board, trying to communicate with the fetus, I want to talk about that when we come back from this break, because that intrigues me, and I want to know what kind of messages you got. Was it I poopied? Was it, name me Bartholomew? Was it something intriguing like that? So when we come back, we'll talk more with Karen Dahlman, our guest. You can find her book on Amazon.com. It's called The Spirit of Creativity, Embodying Your Soul's Passion, a book written in part with the help of Ouija board. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got more of the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio. Good evening. Welcome back to the show. This is the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. Along with me, Tim Dennis. Our guest this evening is the author of the book, Spirit of Creativity, Embodying Your Soul's Passion, Volume 1. Karen Dahlman is our guest, and we're discussing Ouija board and its connection, the information that she gleaned from it. Now, you said that you used it once, or was it more than once, to try to communicate with an unborn fetus?
Well, I've used it several times, but I can give you a good example of one story. There was this woman I knew who was really contemplating if she was going to be a good mother or not, and just went through a series of just horrific stuff as a child and just was questioning her ability because she wasn't mothered or parented very well. So she asked me if I could communicate with her unborn fetus. So let me tell you this. I was about three states away. So that request came in. I said, sure, I will. And so what I found was the fetus came through, and this is what I also learned, too. Now, whether this is the ultimate truth, but this is going to sound controversial, is that I was told by this the fetus, but the spirit goes in and out of the body until it ultimately chooses to stay in that body when it's being born. So it, the consciousness of that soul goes in and out is what it told me. And for it to communicate, it had to bring other guides in, my guides or other entities, to help it communicate in a language that we both, I can understand and it could understand. So you also get that. You get somebody on the other side helping them or some other entity helping them. So this spirit told me it was going to be a boy. It said, tell my mom not to worry. I picked her because she's perfect for me. Now, you know, it's very easy, positive things to say.
Sure.
But this was something that was so important for this woman to hear. Now, I didn't know the whole story behind how she was feeling, other than there was some, that she really had, to, or her history, I should say. But I knew she needed just some kind of reassurance. And this child came, or this child, the fetus came through, to, and this consciousness said, we've been together before, and got into reincarnation kinds of things, and we're together again, and I picked you for these reasons, and you will be a great mother. Please trust yourself. Trust me that I wouldn't choose you either unless it was perfect. And so that's how it came about, and sure enough, it was a boy that was born, and I don't know what the outcome is, other than she was pleased to have this baby and felt, and actually gave her a sense of peace. And I think at that point she was in her second trimester. So that was, it was good. So the baby could, you know, it could form better, I guess, because she was more relaxed.
Very cool. Now, when you're doing experiments like that and you're communicating, I guess not even experiments might not be the right term, but
I would say we do experiments. I do.
Did you ever consider, especially when trying to speak to an unborn child still in the womb, did you ever consider speaking to it about its past life and if there was
a
life?
Yeah, I did. In that case, it wasn't necessary the direction to go unless it wanted to go there. But I have spoken to other entities and other spirits, even ones that are ghosts or people that have died, that energy, about their past life. And I've also had a chance to speak to various spirits who are stuck, and they don't know they're stuck, but they call out to me. And maybe I should back up here. I'll finish this my sentence before I do back up. They call out to me to say, where am I? What I find using a Ouija board is that you open a portal. And I know you've used that term before, and we've used that term when we spoke before on the George's show. It's a portal, and this portal is like, imagine this, like a light where the moths go to the light. And so when something's out there in the darkness and it is lost, maybe a dead person doesn't know they're dead, a ghost, let's say a ghost, they see a light and they go to it. And what happens is that this portal, the Ouija, opens up this hole, if you will, and they start flooding through. And when they start flooding through, you might have 10, 20 that want to talk to you at once, and you have to slow it down, bring in a mediator on the other side and say, please, be the bouncer, if you will, and let one at a time. And so, you know, there's this whole progression you do. But in that case, you can talk to people who are stuck, that have been walking around. They'll come to the light, and then you get their story. And they don't even know they're stuck. But I can even tell you a really cool story that happened to me in Mexico.
Just out of curiosity, did any of the spirits in the womb or the spirits of the children that were about to be born, did they ever come forth and, you know, explain or say where they're soul came from or who they might have been in a past lifetime?
You mean after they were born and in this incarnated as a physical being right now, like us, like
right.
humans?
Right.
You know, I have not done that experiment, but I will tell you this, because of my experience working with the other side and it's multiple consciousnesses that are around us at all times, I will ask that question of younger kids a lot. What do you remember from before? And I find that up to about the age 3 or 4, And even therapists and other psychiatrists and other researchers will back this. They tend to tell you these stories, elaborate stories of remembering these things that might have happened to them before. And I have experienced that. And that's not using a Ouija, that's just talking to young kids and asking them what they know.
All right. Now, you had another story that you were going to share with us. Go ahead.
And this story, I'll try to be brief about it. Again, the Ouija is a portal. And so I went to Mexico with a friend of mine, and she loved to do the Ouija with me. She brought the Ouija, unbeknownst to me, stuck the planchette. Now, the planchette, to your listeners, is that device that goes around the Ouija board you put your fingers on. And it's kind of a triangular-like, heart-like shape, and has a hole in the middle. And sometimes they don't. They point to the words and the letters. So the letters, yes and no, goodbye, and the numbers, so you can spell your message. So she put that planchette, unbeknownst to me, that actually glows in the dark, on my nightstand, pointing at me. Now, I didn't see it. didn't think anything of it. But I get up out of bed in the middle of the night till like 3 in the morning. And now I haven't been drinking because we're getting up at 6 to go golfing. This is a golf trip. So I got to get up early and play my game. Well, the next day, I get out of bed to go to the restroom. I start walking past her bed, and right in front of me, this woman pops up, her back turned to me, dark hair, up in a comb, big white poofy sleeves like from the late 1800s, and she turns, and I went, blah! And I was scared. She was scared. I jumped. She jumped. And I was like, what? And I said, that can't happen. And I saw the plant set sitting there next to my nightstand. I said to my friend, I said, that's like saying 1-900, call Karen on the Ouija. And she's laughing. And she says, what are you worried about? You're not scared of Ouija. And I said, it's not that. I have to be able to, you know, have some control over this. I have to be able to invite them in. Because what happened there was, it was an interference. She saw the light, portal came, opened up, then she came through, and I was not prepared for it. Which, you know, anything can come in. So I kind of explained that to my friend. But what we found was, in the morning I went and spoke to the gentlemen who were serving us food. And now most people speak in Mexican, because I was in Mexico, Spanish, I have to say. And so I spoke my broken Spanish the best I could. And I said, La fantasma en la cuarto esta noche. And I didn't really say it quite right. And the guy went, oh, my goodness, ghost? And I said, yes. And they said, yes. And I said, is there a ghost around here? And he said, there is. There's a woman who walks the beach at night. I said, well, she's in my room. And I said, I'm going to see what's up. And so I spoke to her on the Ouija board the next evening, or next day, I should say. And it turns out she had lost her child. And she had drowned herself in the ocean because she could not find her child. Her child was taken from her by a man and was actually raped. And so it was this horrific situation. But I also found out from the men that worked serving the food that there was a little child that ran through there occasionally, and it was like a ghost, and they would see it, and she'd throw plates and ran through there, and this is an all-adult resort. So to make a long story short, I put this woman, her name was Teresa, she'd been walking around for over 120 years, somewhere in that range. Her name was Teresa, and she had a daughter named Stymie, and the daughter was the girl that ran through the dinner place we eat, and I put them together. They found each other, and they were able to be released into the light. They went together, and it was such an incredible experience to be a part of that, to witness it. It was very emotional because I could feel the emotion as I worked with them both on the board at the same time, communicating the excitement, the fear, the sadness, but also the fact they were together again. It was really quite a heartwarming story. But scary for me in the beginning because she popped in. And she said to me, you scared me. She said, sustos. And I said, sustos, which means you scared me. I was scared too. But it was a story that ended well.
Very cool. Our guest this evening, Karen Dahlman, and she's written a book. The book is out and available, The Spirit of Creativity, Embodying Your Soul's Passion. And she used the Ouija board in part to help write this book and get the creativity, the information, and the help from the other side. So check out the book. It's available on Amazon.com. We're going to take another break. We'll come back tomorrow night. We're going to be joined by Trish and Rob McGregor. Their book, Aliens in the Backyard, UFOs, Abductions, and Synchronicity. That's tomorrow on the best in paranormal talk radio, Darkness Radio.
Welcome back to the best in paranormal talk radio, Darkness Radio. I'm Tim Dennis. Over there is Dave Schrader. Also along with us, the rookie. And in the background, if you can hear it, is a song called Goliath, which was written by the group The Mars Volta. It came out about 4 years ago. And The Mars Volta, we reported this on our Supernatural News segment a long time ago, wrote an entire album based on the Ouija board.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's kind of an interesting story. Let me break it down real quick for you. The album in question is called The Bedlam and Goliath. It takes concept records to a whole new level. It came out in January, I believe, of 2008. Bedlam deals with a present Volta guitarist, Omar Rodriguez Lopez, who also produced the LP. He gave frontman Cedric Bixler Zavala after returning from a trip to Jerusalem. He said he took the trip a while ago, found a sort of curio shop, and he said it's hard to believe that it would exist over there. And Bixler Zavala said that he brought me back what you'd call a Ouija board in the States. And they started playing with it. And they used to get the band to play it a lot after they'd play shows in the middle of nowhere with nothing to do. Making a reference to The Exorcist, he added, and we kind of stumbled across our own version of Captain Howdy. While the gift never had an official name, the band referred to it as the Soothsayer. It serves the same function as a Ouija board, but it's just a little more archaic, according to Bixler Zavala. He added that the band discovered a number of poems attached to the board. This version of it had sort of a love triangle that was attached to it. The poems we found with it sort of described a mother-daughter and other man love triangle. And what I came up with from it was we were being contacted by at least three people on the board that would come up as one person. He said, we wrote down a lot of messages they gave us, and then we used it in the lyrics, and we also tried to fasten the lyrics to some sort of good luck charm by putting positive elements into it. We used a lot of elements of Santeria, which, if you're familiar with it, is an Afro-Caribbean religious tradition, to give it kind of a protective skin when the record does come out. And this was in an interview before the record actually came out. There were a couple of singles off of it, but it, of course, Satan didn't deliver because it didn't do very well in the record stores.
Well, not here.
Not here, but...
maybe wherever they're from.
Other places, yeah.
Yeah, so...
they're from Texas.
Yeah, that's like a whole nother part of the world, though, isn't it?
Texas? Yeah.
Essentially, yeah. El Paso is...
I've heard they've talked about that making, you know, the 51st state.
El Paso?
El Paso.
Okay.
You goofball.
Jeez. They don't teach you much in school, do they?
Not much at all. Mm. And if we're his instructors here in life, this boy's in for trouble.
He's done.
The dream is dead.
Yeah, The Spirit of Creativity, Embodying Your Soul's Passion is the name of the book, Volume 1 by Kieran Dahlman. It's out and available through Amazon.com, and you can pick up the book. The book was written in part with the help and use of Ouija board. Kieran is here to share with us stories, and we're talking now. Kieran, have you ever tried to communicate with somebody in a coma using the Ouija board?
You know, I have not. That would be an interesting thing to do. Yet, I will say this. I have an aunt who is in a coma. Well, she was at one time, and she's not responding very well. Her husband had passed away before she did, and I did speak to him, and he just gave me a message to provide her, but she was unable to receive it. She's not really conscious enough to receive it. But no, I have not, and that would be an interesting thing to do because I do believe there's a consciousness, and as long as you're live or dead, that consciousness continues on. The energy continues on of our soul. So that's a definite thing I like to do, and it's very viable to have happen.
I would think, you know, just as an observer, a few of the experiments that would really be intriguing for an interaction would be trying to contact the baby before it's born, trying to and find out if it has memory or thoughts of where it came from and any information like that. Why it chose us, or, you know, does it have that choice? Also talking to somebody in a coma, trying to see if their spirit or energy is there to communicate with. It would also be intriguing to try to communicate with someone in deep dementia or Alzheimer's who, you know, sometimes they're trapped within their own bodies, unable to control things they say or remember, but is it there and are they able to still communicate that way? Or even with somebody that's a high level autistic child that might, you know, that might be a way to break that boundary and see if communication can be made between, you know, the parent or the person and their child.
Great, great ideas. In fact, I wrote them all down. You know, my background as a therapist, a licensed therapist, these really intrigue me because I have worked with the people with a lot of different disorders and mental disabilities, and I'll tell you the whole thing about doing the releasing into the light and the spirits working together. I actually call Ouija now Ouija therapy. So this is what it reminds me of. I work with it in a way that's therapeutic always. It's about self-growth. It's about personal development. It's about whatever you need to heal. If that's talking to your dead brother, if it's learning from your unborn fetus, if it's talking to one of your animals who's passed on, something will give you some kind of clarity and insight. Or if it's just about meeting one of your guides or angels or even speaking to your higher self. So that's an interesting concept because I've been able to tap into and speak to my higher self, and it will answer me, or somebody else's higher self who I don't know that well, and will give some insight. I mean, what you're saying is profound because there are many levels we can use this Ouija in a way that is helpful and therapeutic. And then there's a whole dark side to Ouija, too, you know, that I've actually experienced and witnessed as well.
No, so, yeah, and I want to talk about that when we come back after the top of the hour, because we've only got about a 2-minute segment left here together. With all of the creation, I want to talk about the dark side of Ouija. I also want to talk about your communication with Zoso and see when that first happened and what you felt you were dealing with when this was coming through. When you're doing the work and you're working in this positive light and you're at a decent vibrational level and trying to get that good communication, do you feel that you can rebuke or rebuff dark energy from trying to match your vibration and enter?
Absolutely. It cannot enter at all anymore. And in fact, I have this old Ouija board in 1902 when I bought it. And I made the mistake of bringing it into my home without clearing it. When I say clearing it, I say I usually do a prayer over it. I do sage. I make sure it's all okay. I didn't do that. And all the spirits started coming through when I started coming into my bedroom. They didn't know the rules yet.
Right.
But what I have done is put the light around me. We can talk about that if your guests are curious how to do that. Because I think it's important to know how to protect oneself from the other side, the darkness, I should say. It's not the other side. It's anything dark. Because free will rules over everything. They cannot come in. If I say nope, they cannot. This is how it works. Free will is the ruler.
All right, we're going to take a break here in a few seconds. Then we'll come back after the top of the hour. We're going to take phone calls, too, if you have stories regarding the Ouija board, good, bad, or you have questions for our guest in her process of using the Ouija board. Feel free to give us a call at 651-989-5855, 651-989-5855. We'll get to those during this next hour. And again, her new book is out and available. It's called The Spirit of Creativity, Embodying Your Soul's Passion by Karen Dahlman. That's D-A-H-L-M-A-N. That's Karen, K-A-R-E-N, Dahlman, D-A-H-L-M-A-N. You can also find her on Facebook. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with more and your calls. And remember, if you want to join me, along with Jeff Belanger, for a Romanian trip following the trail of Vlad the Impaler, the real Dracula, you can get information from me by emailing me at dave@darknessradio.com. Again, that's dave@darknessradio.com. There are only a few slots left open, and for between $2,800 to $3,200, you can join us for an entire 8-day vacation that's going to blow your mind. Again, email me if you're interested, dave@darknessradio.com. Stay tuned. More of the best in paranormal talk radio when we return. This is Darkness Radio.